Let me welcome to the studio to KUVO on this Friday morning, Mr. Kenny Garrett. Thank you so much, man, for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. How did things go last night at Dazzle?
Everything went well. Everything went well. We had fun. We had some happy people there.
Oh, of course.
And some of them are coming back for some more
tonight. Yeah, yeah. You're in for another night. It's two sets or just one set?
Two sets of music.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've been blessed, man, because you've done your share of gigs here in Colorado over the years.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah. I remember, I think you did Fort Collins a few years back up in northern Colorado, mm-hmm. as I can recall. My memory sometimes just drifts off to somewhere else. But, Kenny, it's a pleasure to have you in the house. And it's interesting because when I think about your music and your legacy and so forth, I still think of you as still one of the brightest upcoming stars, but it's all evolved into one of the modern masters of this music, and now there's a whole generation of people who have come up behind you, and I'm wondering what you hear and what you see and what inspires you in this day and age. You still reach back for things that were seminal to your to you as a person and you as an artist and you as a music. How do you keep this flame just burning, man?
Well, I look at it as a blessing. If I'm always inspired by music and by life and this opportunities to travel the world and meet people, I think what keeps me going is just the fact that the creator gives me another opportunity to try something. I've had some great mentors, you know, starting from Detroit, people like Bill Wiggins, who was my high school band director, Marcus Belgrave, who's a pillar of the community.
Yeah, of
he's
course.
Taught so many people. Yeah. It's so many people who have touched me in different ways or have mentored me in different ways. And so I think what happens for me is I always reach back. My story is about thanking all of the elders who have helped me. If you go back to the first... my first CD, I was giving, writing a song for maybe Woody, or maybe writing a song for Bill Wiggins, or writing a song for Billy Harper, writing a song for Miles, or Woody Shaw. It's always, those are the guys who remind me why I'm standing on their shoulders. So they remind me that I'm doing that, but I don't forget. I keep moving, but I also try to understand that I have my own legacy I have to, you know, to carve out. I mean, playing with Miles Davis for 5.5 years, I realized that I had to, I mean, everybody knew me from playing with Miles, but I had to create my own body of work. And I've done that over the years and still creating that. And also I started to remember that, well, your teacher was Miles Davis, just like Herbie Hancock's teacher and Wayne Shorter's teacher was Miles Davis. So I have some of the same things to offer too. So that's what keeps me inspired, always trying to, you know, to bring in younger musicians, just like I was mentored by Art Blakey and Miles and Woody and Freddie.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys like Ronald Bruner, who's playing with me tonight at Dazzle, was one of the artists that I brought out when he was like maybe 16, 17 years old. That's when I first met him. And
what does he play?
He plays drums. He's a great drummer. He's gone on. He's played with everyone from Lauryn Hill to George Duke to Prince. I mean, whoever you think about, he's playing with. Yeah. But when I first met him, what I heard was a beat. He played a cymbal beat. And I looked around the corner and said, who is that? So I said, oh, he's very energetic. Oh, man, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. So I kept hearing, well, Little Bruner can't sit still. I said, well, bring him out. So I brought him out. He wasn't ready. So then later I went back, and I kept hearing the same story. I said, well, you need to bring him out. You got to mentor him.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about the people like Marcus Belgrave and Bill Wiggins who actually took me under their wing and showed me the way.
Wow.
So that's what gets me up. And I'm always, you know, have my ears to the ground, listening to the younger artists. I mean, saying the ones that I've inspired, I'm listening to them. And I'm, you know, rehearsing with those guys. Because at an earlier age in my career, I realized that some of the elders wouldn't play they wouldn't play the music that I wanted to hear. So, for example, I did a record called African Exchange Student.
I remember that.
Brian Carter and Elvin Jones, and I wanted to have this rhythm section. and had a tune called African Exchange Student. So it was a bass line, doom, doo-doo, boo-doo, boo-doo, doo-doo, boo-doo, boo-doo. Well, I called the great Ron Carter. Ron Carter's not going to play doo-doo all night. And so I realized, well, I got to get some other guys. So I called Charnette Moffett, and I called Tony Reedus. Tony Reedus.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I knew that I had to have my one foot with the elders and one foot with the younger guys. Yeah. And that was kind of like my way of really, I've had a whole bunch of guys. There's Chris Day, there's Robert Glasper, there's Kamasi. All those guys came through. Like the L.A. Get Down, because of Ronald, they were learning the information that I was sharing with Ronald.
Yeah.
So Terrence Martin and Kamasi, those guys, and Robert Glasper played with me. And it's Chris Dave, all these guys who are out doing their thing now. Because people always say, well, how come these guys, how come they always mention your name? It's because I was one of those guys who was passing on information.
Yeah, yeah. I could, you know, as I'm listening to you right now, I can hear Miles saying, tell him I'm still pregnant.
Well,
you know, it's just an amazing thing. And you know, that's how the music stays alive.
Yeah.
And that's how musicians continue to connect. I think, and Abby, we've had this conversation before. I think we're living right now in a new renaissance for this music and places to hear the music. Like I'm speaking about our community in particular, but you're the one who travels and gets out there. Do you have the same feeling? Because there are a lot of masters, people that I've been fortunate to meet, like Donald Harrison, Big Chief, who subscribes to the same philosophy of the young ones, and you know, and bring them out. You know, get them there where they need to be, and playing and so forth.
Well, we both had the same mentor, Art Blakey. So you know,
you go.
When people were passing that information on, you realize it. Maybe not at that time.
Right.
As you get older, you start saying, okay, you have an obligation to make sure that these musicians understand the history of the music, and you just bring them out and give them an opportunity to play.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting how the drummers in particular. The ear, it's kind of like okay, if I got that man, then I know I got something that I can move in various directions rhythmically, because it is really about the rhythm. And even today, Abby, we were talking about earlier about the groove based kinds of things that are happening now, and sometimes the improvisation element is downplayed a little bit, but
I've noticed that a lot with newer jazz, which I love a good groove, but how do you teach that improvisation to the next generation that might have grown up with more of that, you know, kind of groove hip hop vibe in jazz?
Well, it's important that you try to pass on some of the same information.
Mm-hmm.
As a young musician, they have an idea of what it should be,
right.
And you just kind of let them find their way. You're leading them, but you still let them find their way. Just like Woody Shaw, and I was on a record of Woody Shaw and Freddie Hubbard. And I remember one day Woody was saying to me, I was wondering how you were going to resolve that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the same thing. I wasn't sure I was going to resolve it, but I knew I had to resolve, you know, the chords. So I think, you know, the masters had a trust and understood that I had a foundation. And so once they see that, and even for myself, once you see that a musician understands, you kind of just try to feed them a little bit and kind of push them in a different direction, or you know, say check out this music. And I think that's what's important, you know, just to make sure that you know you do your part. Some people receive it and maybe not at that time. When I played in the Duke Ellington Orchestra, directed by Mercer Ellington, there was the lead alto player Hal Manure, who was a protege of Johnny Hodges. And he took me on his wings and was showing me things, and he was talking about a bell sound. I was like, a bell sound? What is that? I didn't know what it was. And so, but he gave me the information, and one day I was listening to Sonny Stitt. I said, oh, that's what he's talking about. That's the bell sound. So sometimes you're getting a lesson, but you're not ready for it, but you still gave him the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's just at some point it clicks, like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah. And at some point it all comes together and plays a part in your own sound, and the way that what comes out of that horn is all of this that you just described.
That's true.
Wow. So what's it like playing with the young ones you've got with you on this trip?
Well, I got some young ones and an older one. I have Woody. I have Rudy Burr. He's playing percussion.
Oh, okay.
We worked together with Miles Davis.
Right.
He worked for Lauryn Hill, Michael Jackson.
Right.
I have Corcoran Holt, who's been playing with me for about 10 years.
Yeah, of course.
He's a professor at Arizona State now.
Yeah.
And I have Keith Brown, who's a great young and up-and-coming piano. Yeah. Well, his father was Donald Brown. We played together with Art Blakey.
Did Donald help you produce on that last album?
Yeah, he produced a lot of my records.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I had, you know, I had so much respect, and I loved the way he would write compositions, so I would just bring him in. He was like, well, you don't need me. I said, yeah, I do. I need you to be there. You know, so whatever style I was trying to play, I knew he would understand it.
Yeah. That's so hip. Mm-hmm. Kenny Garrett's in the house this morning on the morning set here at Kuvo Jazz. And it's great. You know, we don't get that many musicians at this hour. We do get a few who get up and get moving. You told me, well, I always get up early. I'm always up early. It doesn't matter what time the gig ends, I'm up early.
That's true. I'm up. All my my friends call me early morning. You know, I call them early.
It's not a sign of getting older. It's just this is what you've always done, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you, man. Thank you for taking time out to coming in and joining us. And I want to play a track from the Sounds from the Ancestors. Okay. Song, and how was this album received overall for you? Because it's been out for a while
We're starting to catch up. I have a Cuban singer, Melvis Santa, who's with me tonight.
Uh-huh.
And we're
cool.
Yeah, one of the songs we recorded was called Sounds from Ancestors. That influence came from Chucho Valdez, one of my mentors, mm-hmm. and also Emilio Lyons. He's Italian, and he's always singing opera stuff. So that way of writing and that influence came from that, even though he's not a musician like playing per se, but when you hear him play his clarinet, you realize he understands music.
Wow. Mm. Had my head spinning right now. So I thought we'd do When the Days Were Different.
Okay.
If you want to lend any insight into that piece.
Well, you know, when I was thinking about the concept of the record, what I used to do as a kid, on Thanksgiving, before Christmas would show up, I would actually take all the records that I loved and fill up my soul, and I would hide them until Christmas Day. And on Christmas Day, I would take all this music up, and it would fill my heart up again until the next Thanksgiving, and I would hide them, put them away, and then I would play all this music. So I was trying to capture that feeling. I wanted the public to hear this music that I heard, you know, or listen to. So that's what I said, When the Days Were Different. But it's really coming from that Detroit experience. But it's not, it's R&B, it's jazz, it's Afro-Cuban, it's just everything that I could think of that filled me up.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Notable highlight in the song in terms of a soloist or anything besides yourself?
Well, no, I'm just the soloist on there. We have, you know, a choir there.
And to see Cochran Holt's on there, and, you know, most of the guys, as a matter of fact,
that
are with you.
Yeah. The only difference on this one, on the some of the Yoruban part, is this, I have some, like, Cuban friends, like Pedrito Rock. Pedrito Martinez.
Right. Another monster.
No, yeah.
Thank you so much, Kenny.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate having you here, man. And tonight should be another great night.
Oh, we're looking forward
to Dazzle Jazz. I think the show starts at 6:30.
Yeah, doors open at 6.
7 o'clock. Starts
at 7, and then there's another set at 10.
At 9:30.
At 9:30, excuse me.
All right, well, let's do it. From the Sounds from the Ancestors, it's Kenny Garrett, and When the Days Were Different.